Hi, this is Audrey Kearns. Thanks for joining me wherever and whenever you are. I have a treat for you right now. Last September, I went to Dragon Con in Atlanta to host my storytelling show, Five Truths and a Lie. Our storytellers included Catherine Burrell and Dominique Provost-Shockley from the hit sci-fi show Winona Earp, Battlestar Galactica and the magicians Rick Worthy, comics writer Matt Fraction, and television writer Derek Hughes. They all told a story based on a theme we gave them, which was, may the odds be ever in your favor. And one of these fine storytellers that I just mentioned was lying. It was such a fun and energetic show, and I wanted to share it with you in this episode. Now, if you enjoy this episode of Five Truths and a Lie, like I know you will, please head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or FiveTruthsAndALie.com, where you can listen to over 5 years' worth of pop culture heroes spinning yarns. You'll love it. And if you came here for the Five Truths and a Lie episode, please go ahead and check out my podcast, Kneel Before Odd, on BlogTalkRadio.com, GeekGirlAuthority.com, iTunes, or Stitchers, for interviews with your pop culture faves. Now, one last thing. Don't forget to visit geekgirlauthority.com for all your pop and geek culture news. All right. For now, enjoy your walk, your workout, your commute, your cleaning as you listen to Five Truths and a Lie, Dragon Con Edition.
What must I do to take a holiday? Show me a bill that they can make me pay.
Hello, World Wide Web. Welcome to the Five Truths and a Lie podcast. I'm Brian Bradley, co-creator of Five Truths and a Lie, a storytelling show performed live in Los Angeles and occasionally other places, also occasionally in Los Angeles. And here with me, as she is in life, is Five Truths co-creator, Miss Audrey Kearns. She's also, of course, the founder and editor of Geek Girl Authority. How are you, Audrey?
I'm fine, husband. How are you?
I like that. It's like Amish people. It's like an Amish podcast. Is there
yes,
such a
husband.
Thing? Yes, husband. You are my helpmate.
I feel like I need to make a really bad barn-raising joke, but then I feel like that would make me a terrible person.
I don't think so. I think the Amish are still safe to make fun of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well... And you hear a third voice in this room. Yes. And no, he's not
the devil. The Amish
devil, but he's pretty close to it. Please welcome to the podcast our producer and professional nerd bro supreme.
Yes.
Matt Sewell.
Hey.
Hello, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, my God.
Maybe
I'm
I'll
good.
Put like a bunch of thunder and lightning when you announce my name in there.
You have the power to do it.
You
can
do anything
you want. You're basically the god of this podcast.
What about this? You don't know what it is yet, but
no,
it's going to be awesome.
I hope it's not inappropriate.
No.
Also, we should introduce our guest for this podcast, the very talented Josh Flaum. You might know his work. I'm sure you do if you spend any time watching The Nerdist or Geek and Sundry or Disney XD. XP? XD.
It's both, but...
It's either one of those.
Yeah, honestly.
You want to stay off of Disney XD.
XD? That's a... Okay, that's a Russian website. Not affiliated with the Disney Corporation.
No.
It's falsified Disney is what it is.
Also, Josh is the creator, of course, of the very brilliant Written by a Kid. Co-creator, I should say, along with Will Bowles. Hello, Will. Welcome, Josh.
Hi.
Thanks for coming over to our house.
I'm glad to be here. It's full of booze.
Yes, yeah. We gave you wine. We bought wine.
Thank you for having me once again.
All right. Okay. Let's not make this one of those awkward conversations.
It isn't. It isn't. I'm just full
of free flowing conversation, a salon of ideas. That's what this really is.
Well, so let's talk about what we have coming up.
Okay, let's do it.
Yes, so this is, we're going to do our Five Truths and Lies show, and this is from Dragon Con.
Yes, 2017.
It's the year 2017.
September, just September.
Yes, it was over Labor Day weekend. Day. Mm-hmm. Yes, and this was our fifth, Matt, was this our fifth show?
I think so. I think we've gone 5 years.
Yeah, this is our fifth, and we had a great cast of storytellers this year.
Unbelievable. Now, the people who might be listening to this who are fans of the people that will be you're hearing stories from, but they might not know what Dragon Con is. Should you explain that a little bit?
Okay, Dragon Con is my favorite
convention. It's a pop culture convention. A nerd con, as I like to say, it takes place in Atlanta every single Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's full of about 60 to 70,000 nerds in downtown Atlanta.
God, that's a lot
for
of nerds.
5 days. And it is a blast. And yeah. There's a lot of different tracks, such as We Are a Part of the Podcast track. There's, you know, American science fiction track, British science fiction track. There's just about.
There's later in the everything. Evening, there's a bondage track. I believe there's still a bondage track.
Yeah, there's, I don't know if there's a track. I know there's a lot of BDSM.
Well, there's a lot of bondage
BDSM,
people there.
BDSM. Yeah.
They're on track to discipline.
And events. Furries, right? It's pretty famous for the furries.
They have their own events there. That is true.
Have we ever witnessed a furry there ourselves? I don't know that I've ever seen a proper sexually motivated furry.
They stay in their area. You know, they have a zone. Sure. You don't want them wandering around the con.
I think they do wander around the con. I think the difficult thing might be if they wandered into your room mistakenly.
Sure.
But I think they're only interested in other furries.
The great thing about Dragon Con is that you will always find your people there, no matter what your fandom is or what you like to do to party. You can find it about Dragon Con. It's very inclusive, and it's my favorite con. I've been there 8 years in a row now. 5 years doing five years.
Where else can you see Gandalf?
Gandalf!
Why don't you explain that, Matt?
It was, if you remember Alf.
We do.
From the 80s.
Hey, alien Willy, life form.
Yep.
How about some cats? That guy. Alien from Melmac. Anyway, there was someone dressed as Gandalf, but had an Alf mask.
It was a fantastic cosplay mashup of Gandalf. And Dragon Con is full of awesome cosplay mashups.
It is indeed.
Thou shalt not pass unless you have some cats.
That's I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know that you were such an Alf fan.
No,
I've known you many years.
Our friend Darren Verde does an amazing Alf impression as well.
He also does a great, speaking of mashups, he does a great dude from the Big Lebowski, but with a Kirk bathrobe on.
Yes.
So
yes.
He's Kirk and the dude.
I always go as a fat television writer to there, and no one knows what I am, but I know what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I am. Okay, so here we are at the podcast, and this we go down there every year. We it's a kind of a special podcast for us because, you know, it blends our storytelling love with our pop culture love, and we're able, because there's a sort of a concentration of celebrities, you know, from pop culture there, we're able to kind of get some really interesting storytellers from a lot of fandoms that come in. And the show is always raucous. There's always, you know, 400 to 800 people there, and they line up, and it's a great, great time. So,
and this year's show was, I wouldn't say it was extra raucous, but it got a little wonderfully dirty, and we had different fandoms. We had about 4 different fandoms there, which was absolutely fantastic.
So our Wynonna Earp fandom.
Wynonna Earp, which I love that show. It's 2 seasons in. It's a big, and most of the audience were Earpers, which are Wynonna Earp fans. And
they call themselves Earpers?
Yep,
they
do. Yep, Earpers.
On purpose.
And, yeah, they're fantastic. Earpers are the best. And they were in line for hours before the show. And they were such a supportive crowd. The whole crowd from all the fandoms, because we had Rick Worthy from the – should we say who we had?
Yeah.
We had Rick Worthy from the Magicians. Mm-hmm. His resume is a mile long. Also Man in the High Castle, a bunch of other stuff.
Battlestar Galactica.
So Catherine Burrell and Dominic Provost-Shockley from Wynonna Earp. And actually Catherine Burrell was in this season of Star Trek Discovery.
We just watched her the other night. We argued a little bit whether it was her or not, and I lost.
You lost because I said, that's Kat Burrell.
Sorry, Kat.
And you said no, and I said, yes, it is. And you said no, so I had to break out the IMDb and prove my husband
there
wrong.
There was a time when I know IMDb Kat Burrell would not make me a fool.
Isn't that the best feeling when you get out the correct answer
yes.
from the internet, and you're like, I fucking told you.
She's a harsh mistress. She's a harsh mistress, the internet. Yeah. We also had Matt Fraction, who is one of our favorite comic book writers and creator of the wonderful Sex Criminals series, which I think is – I think it's safe to say this is will soon to be a television series, potentially on Hulu.
And then we had Derek Hughes, who's a writer for Warehouse 13, The Flash, Beauty and the Beast.
And
he's a good friend of ours. He was fantastic.
And I think that was our gang. So that's kind of how Dragon Con goes and how our show goes. So here's how this podcast goes. We've invited Josh here this evening.
Oh, hi.
Our dear friend. Hello, Josh. And we started doing this on our last podcast, which was a while back, sadly. But where we like the idea of mixing up the format. And what we wanted to do to remind everybody is that we bring in somebody who was not at the show, who has not heard these stories, and we're going to let them listen to the stories live. So when we throw to the stories here on the podcast, right here in our home, we'll also be playing them for Josh. And Josh will hear those stories. He'll be taking notes. He'll be playing the game live with you as we go through it. And we'll talk about the stories and we'll sort of go through his mind and see what, who he thinks is the liar. So if we should talk about for those who are uninitiated to the Five Truths and a Lie podcast, let's talk a little bit about how the regular show works, Audrey.
Yes. So this is how Five Truths and a Lie works. We invite six interesting people to tell a story from their lives based on a single theme, which they will perform, which they do perform without notes in front of an audience. The twist is that we secretly ask one of these storytellers to lie, to absolutely make it all up. And at the end of the show, the audience votes on which stories or story they think is a lie.
Just one lie is buried in there.
So out of these five storytellers, based on the theme, what's our theme?
Our theme this time was, may the odds be ever in your favor, stories of rolling the dice and taking risks.
So from the five stories of that theme, one of them is bullshit.
So Josh knows, because Josh, of course, is a Five Truths veteran storyteller. So you know the drill. You've lied. You've told the truth.
I've done both.
You've done both.
You can't trust me.
You're an expert.
Just like in real life.
Yeah.
Just like in real life.
Like real life with this son of a bitch.
For those listening, don't trust me.
No, I certainly don't.
Approximately two out of every six things I say is a lie.
So also, for those of you listening...
He's pushing right past your lie. Okay.
So for those of you listening right now, the order of the storytellers are chosen at random on the night of the show, and we're going to present them to you in that very same order.
Exactly. So this will just be like, I guess the short way of saying this is, it's just like you're listening to the show. Let's jump right into the stories. We told you the theme. I'm going to talk to you about we're going to listen to three stories first.
Yep.
Okay. And then we'll come back, talk to Josh, and we'll listen to a couple of more. First, we're going to hear from Winona Earp's Dominique Provost-Chockley.
Dominique was so incredibly sweet. She's like the nicest person in the world. And so I was like, I just want to make sure I pronounce your name right. Is it Dominique Provost-Chockley? And she's like, well, you know, I'm part French and part English, so the real correct way to say it. And she said it with the most beautiful accent. She goes, but you can say it any way you want. So I said, so I can say Provost-Chockley.
Well, because we're going to give her the public school pronunciation here. This is what you get from a state school. So Dominique, that's how your name's pronounced in Florida.
So Dominique, she tells a story of the unfortunate consequences of an ill-advised tuna sandwich.
Okay, so let your imagination begin to run wild. Next up, we'll hear from Rick Worthy from The Magicians, Battlestar Galactica, etc., who tells us a saucy tale of a trip to Canada with a sexy pit stop.
Yes, and then up next is writer Matt Fraction, and Matt told us a story of, well, venereal disease with a repeated refrain which will not soon leave your brain. In fact, it was a hashtag for days to come.
Days after that, that's true. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so let's jump right into the stories. Enjoy the first three stories of our DragonCon 2017 Five Truths and a Lie.
I really didn't want to go first, so that's good. Okay, I'd like to preface by saying that I think merely telling this story is like the biggest risk ever. So I'm in line with the theme for sure, and I'm definitely regretting my decision, but here goes. Okay. So I'd like to set the scene. 2010, London. I managed to land myself a job in West End's Dirty Dancing, the musical. So, like, I'm like, what? But obviously, I'm like, yay, okay, great. I'm loving life. I've literally living the dream. My family's super proud, having a great time. Wow, I'm nervous. Okay, we did it. Okay, good, yeah. Great. Yeah, living the dream. And so for anyone that doesn't know, Dirty Dancing is the musical, is literally the movie on stage. So exactly the same word for word. And I am playing alternate baby, which basically means that... Okay, that's not the funny part, Matt, but gee, thanks, boy. Okay, yeah, so it's it means that because the role is so demanding, the lead gets two nights off a week, so I play baby on Mondays and Thursdays and any holidays that she's got off. Go head to the head to the theatre at about 6:15 for warm-up, come down at about 10:30, head to the pub for a pint or four, and do it all again the next day. So, like, life's good. This particular Saturday, I had been on all week because the lead was on holiday in Barbados or something. So I was, like, having a great time. So I decided to invite my family, and I just sent an email to the Chalkleys being like, hey, anyone want to come see me play this? I'm like, you know, I'm in the swing of things. Life's good. And so a couple of family members decided to come. I take them for some food beforehand, and I'm a little bit stingy, so I take them to a pretty shitty cafe. I really like it. Like, I'm not going to lie, guys. They did the most amazing jacket potatoes with cheese and beans. I used to get it every day. Like, this was my jam. So I take them there, but this particular Saturday, I decided to get a nice, big, chunky tuna sandwich. Oh, guys. Okay. Everyone has a problem with tuna. I like it. But I'm talking about those really hefty ones that have, like, more tuna than bread. You know, those ones that are, like, pretty gross and real fishy, but, like, yeah. So anyway, I shovel it down before the show and I head to the theater for 6:15 for warm-up. That's when I started feeling a little bit off. I was like... Okay, my family's in, so, like, it's probably just nerves. So I'm just like, okay, I'm rolling with it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do warm-up, practice the lift a couple of times, put my wig on, like, life's good. But I'm definitely feeling a little bit queasy. And I live in a constant state of nerves, as you can see. So I'm just like, ah, it's normal, right? That I feel like this? Yeah, good, good. Anyway, so I, cheers. This is where it gets real good. So the show starts and the curtain comes up and it's like, doom, 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 doom. And I'm like, I do not feel good. The lights are, like, bright. And I'm like, ugh, this is a lot. And obviously I have to really emphasize the fact that I am the understudy. So, like, there's a lot of pressure to be, like, as good as the lead. And I'm like 20 years old, like, yeah, putting all my effort into it. And the guy that's playing Johnny looks at me from across the stage and gives me, like, this look. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm thinking, oh shit, like, do I look like I'm doing a really bad job? And we used to do this thing where literally the audience would be there and we'd, like, turn to the back and talk to each other as if nobody noticed, but we were doing it anyway. I was thinking, that's weird. Apparently, I had started going really white and I was, like, looking like a sexy ghost, but, like, that's kind of, like, the wrong Patrick Swayze movie. So I was like, people started noticing. And I was like, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, so anyway, the... Act one starts going. I'm really pushing through and pushing through, and we get pretty close to the end of act one. And I'm like, I'm just gonna go to my changing room and just have a moment. It's gonna be fine. I can push through. And that's when it hit me that I was sick, and it was gonna come out one of two ways. And I was like 95% sure that it was gonna be the back door. And I was like, oh, okay. I told you it was a risk telling this story, and I wasn't joking. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna push through. I've got one more dance number and then I'm off. So I quickly run off stage and I say to my costume woman who's changing me, she's like, I'm like, Heather, bro, you gotta help me out here. Like, whew, you gotta get me some of that medicine that, like, stops the poo, like, from coming out. Like, what is it called? Like, Imodium, that's the one. Like, just, like, get me the poo blocker stuff, because she's like, this is terrible. And she just looks at me with a face. I will never forget the face she gave me of, like, pure terror. And she was just like, as she put me into this baby pink dress. And I was like, anyway, so I head back on stage, guys. I'm so sorry about this in advance. I head back on stage and it's the Mambo. And if anyone who hasn't seen the movie, it's like where Baby has her big moment. And she like takes over from the girl who's getting the abortion. It's all really good. So she says like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay. And at the beginning, there's this move where Johnny's like pressed up against you. And it's like this super sexy thing. And he just whispers in my ear and he's like, dude, are you okay? I was not okay. Guys, I was not okay in any way. And I just remember like time stopping and just thinking, Dominique, what do you do in this moment? Like, what are you going to do? And I thought I could either just run off stage, just like make a swift exit and just, you know, go do the stuff. Or I tell him. But like, what do you say? You're just like, got a big case of the D situation. Like, no, oh, you bet you're really excited for the lead to come back. You know what I mean? And so I decided that, no, I'm going to push through. And like, my family's in as well. So I'm like, I don't want to let my family down. Anyway, this dance was like all the spins, all the twirls, like all the lifts. Like, it was just... Are you really turned on? Because I feel like you are. Yeah.
That's not that face. It's a different face.
Are you sure?
I promise.
Okay.
You
okay.
A different face.
Okay. So. Yeah. So we started doing the dance, 12 spins, all that malarkey, and I realized in that moment, like, oh, I didn't think this through. The last lift is going to be a problem.
I'm so scared right now.
Okay. So I'm like, I just decided to give him a look of like my best face that kind of just said like, really sorry about this. Like, we're probably not going to speak after this. So like, really good knowing you, like kind of face. And we enter the last phrase of music. Da, 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 and I kind of have to like explain to you what this lift is. So just, so imagine the girl has her right knee up like so. Okay, and the guy hooks under and then like splits your legs and you twirl around in this beautiful like end of act one flourish. I did it. I'm there. And ladies and gentlemen, wrong song, but we're going to go with it. That's at the end of the show. I'm sorry. But thanks for that, though. And he splits my legs. And ladies and gentlemen, I sharted. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. For anyone who doesn't know what that means, I learned this shortly after. That means I shat and I farted. On a West End stage, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, 1,200 seater. Thank you very much, ERPAs. Love you for the support. I knew the ERPAs would like have my back. Thank you. Yes. It was, I don't want to turn you on too much, but, like, there's, like, all the things, you know, sound, smell, all that stuff, and this very close proximity to another human. So, I mean, listen, a lot of greats have been on the Old Witch stage, but, like, I don't think anyone left their mark quite like I did. You know what I mean? So, thank you very much.
Wow.
Thank you, Dominique. This is gonna be love.
Yes. Well, I have not performed on the West End stage. okay, so I don't know how many people know that I'm crazy about my dog, Buddy. He's a chocolate Labrador, and he is almost 11 years old, and I take him fucking everywhere with me. So.
Your service dog has gotten very interesting.
Yeah, hey, baby! Hello!
Her dog.
I want to meet your dog after, if that's okay. Yeah, cool. So when Buddy was born in January 15th of 2007, and at the time I was working on Battlestar Galactica, I believe it was season 4, and I wanted to, I remember I got a call from my agent saying, you're working next Friday, and you're going to be up in Vancouver for like 3 weeks or something, and I wanted to bring Buddy with me. So I talked to the producer and the travel coordinator, and I said, can I fly my dog up to Vancouver? And they were like, well, we don't know. We don't know what the rules are, blah, 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 blah. And I just said, fuck it. I'm just going to drive him. I'm going to do it in one day. So my goal, my risk was, I'm going to drive my dog from L.A. to Vancouver. I'm going to do it in one day. And it's about 1,200 miles or so. So I said, I'm just going to fucking gas up the car, put Buddy in the back, and load up all of his cool shit to eat and play with and mine too, and then we're just gonna just go. That's what I did. So about 12 hours later, maybe 17 hours later, I'm just pulling into Seattle, and it's maybe close to maybe 11 p.m., maybe midnight, and I'm fucking exhausted. And I said, I'm not gonna cross the border tonight, man. I'm gonna check into a dog-friendly hotel and just call it a night, right? Okay, so I do that. I find pull out my phone or whatever it was. I found a dog-friendly hotel in downtown Seattle, check little Buddy baby in, check myself in, and I am exhausted. About 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, you know that distinct sound of sex? You know, it goes like,
no.
Oh, ooh, like, and I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
Someone's fucking. Now, but it sounded like it was coming like maybe to the right, or you know, you never know. It was to the right, and then I was like, and it wakes you right up. Oh, it was coming that way. Okay, great. Okay, all right. I try to go back to sleep. A couple of minutes later, I hear, and then you hear it. Okay. And it was coming from, I think, up there, that way. So whoever was above me, I was like, oh, God. Then a few minutes later, thank you. A few minutes later, I hear, to the left.
What a hotel.
Yeah, I know, exactly right. And this wasn't like, you know, no-tell, motel. It was like a nice, you know, boutique hotel in downtown Seattle that happened.
Which brothel was this?
Exactly right. That happened to be dog friendly. So I said, what day is it? I looked on my phone, it's February 14th. All right? And I said, oh God, it's Valentine's Day. How crappy is my life? And then I said, all right, I'm just gonna have to just bear it, you know. I said, all right, I'll get up at 7 a.m., check out of this sex motel, and get Buddy across the border, because I was really concerned about the immigration guys. I don't know if you've ever driven to Vancouver, but those guys can be a little hard, you know? Like, you have all the right documents in order. So I had Buddy's rabies certificate, I had every shot he's ever had, you know, all the right shit to bring. And I said, all right, we're just gonna get up early and check out of this hotel. Get up, grab all of our stuff, we start walking down the hallway, I press the down button on the elevator, and then add insult to injury, I just hear, oh. Yeah, 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 like that, right? And it's the door right across from the elevator. And I was like, God, I need a girlfriend, man. It's bad. We check out, I get Buddy to the border, and the guy was so nice. He was like, what a cute little dog, you know? Oh, he's good. You know, I don't need to look at his papers or anything. I get him welcome to Canada. You know, I had to pick up my work permit, you know, and I get to Vancouver, I check into the Sutton Hotel, and we're all good to go. And so I had Buddy there, no problem whatsoever. And that happened in, I think it was about April of 2007, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Adventures in Sex Motel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
pressure. No pressure.
All right.
So this is actually the first time I've been to Dragon Con. I was here very briefly a few years back, and my father died, and I had to leave on Saturday morning. So I just I'm super psyched to be able to be a part of all of this madness. And now I live in Portland, and my mother has now moved in with my wife and my family. So come on, Dragon Con, work your magic. All right.
Yes. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. That was my warm up. All right. So one day I woke up and it felt like I slept on my dick wrong.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it. So I'm going to work on it the best I can for the dickless amongst us who might not understand what that feels like, and the dicked who also may not know because maybe they never did it. You know, like how sometimes garden hoses stay bent? It felt like that. It just felt like literally like I slept like at a right angle. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Like there's like I slept on my dick wrong. I go to the bathroom and that's not awesome. It kind of makes it worse. And I'm like, fuck. I guess I gotta be careful with my dick. All right, so I go about my daily dick business and it's not getting better. And I start to think about it. And then that's where things go wrong for me, is anytime my brain gets involved. Because then I leap from, oh, you slept on your dick wrong, to, well, it's AIDS and cancer. You're the first one. We don't know how it happened. And it's also in your dick. So it's getting worse, and I can't stop thinking about it. And I'm supposed to, you know, be in school and working hard. And then really the cancer thoughts start to happen. And every time I piss, it hurts more. So my idea is like, I'm just going to drink water. I'm just going to drink a ton of water and like flush it out. Whatever's wrong. There's a thing. There's a stone. There's a kink in the garden hose. I just got to straighten. So I'm drinking. The more I drink, the worse it gets. And I can't stop. Like, the only thing I can figure out how to do is drink water and piss. And fuck, I slept on my dick wrong. And I have cancer and AIDS in my dick. So I have a thing called a varicocele, which is a cluster of blood vessels around my left ball. At the time, I just thought it was cancer that I was getting away with. And I lived silently as though, oh yeah, no, I just got this whole thing going on and maybe one day it'll be a problem. It doesn't seem to be like a bad cancer, but it's a noticeable, discernible mass. Like I used to have dreams of like pulling miles of spaghetti out of my balls. It was like, I'm finally gonna get rid of the cancer. I'm like, well, this is it. The cancer has now gone up into my dickle region. Add to that a layer of AIDS and I'm gonna be dead by 17 or 18, I guess. So, and now, you know, it was, what, the 90s then? I was responsible sexually. I was in a long-term committed relationship. I knew it wasn't that. And I didn't want to go through all of that. No, I know it's not. I know it's not that because I know if I go, there's tests you're going to have to get. And like the first time I had an AIDS test was like a 2-week panic attack for no good reason. And I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And it's not getting better. And it's not getting better. And suddenly all I'm doing is just drinking water and peeing and hating everything and convinced, oh, it's probably in my heart now. I probably have AIDS heart. And cancer lung, and everything is the worst. So finally, I'm at a school at this point, by the way. I'm in my freshman year of college, I think. That sounds about right. You weren't around, right? You weren't around for me sleeping on my dick wrong, right? All right. Roommate from high school. So I finally, one day, like I say to my girlfriend, like, all right, listen, honey, baby, I slipped on my dick wrong. I have to go. She's like, I don't think you can do that. I'm like, that's got to be all that's happened, right? Because, you know, I don't screw around. You don't screw around. It's probably not cancer or AIDS, right? I just slept on my dick wrong. It happens all the time. It's like, I don't think that's a thing that happens to people. But I've decided, all right, I am going to go seek medical help. And at this point, it's been like a week of, and I'm in fucking agony, right? So this is the risk I take, is I'm going to go see a doctor because I slept on my dick wrong. So, doctor, yes, what's the problem today? Well, it's a funny story. slept on my dick wrong. She's like, that's not a thing that happens to people. Like, God damn it. All right, well, fucking, it's a UTI. My mom gets UTI. She's like, yeah, women and men are very different. I'm like, I don't know. My mom's got blue eyes. I got blue eyes. She gets UTIs, too. I'm pretty sure it's a UTI. Probably not a UTI. You're a dude. I'm like, didn't that not happen? Like, no, not really. It's probably gonorrhea. I'm like, I don't know. Are you sure about that? Like, yeah. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I'm like, I really don't think so. Lamb, I really do. Because you can't sleep on your dick wrong. And you sure it's not AIDS or cancer? No, no, no. I'm pretty sure. No. All right. So what do we do? Just give me pills and I'll go away. Hey, it's all better. He's like, nope, because you have to track it, right? And in case it's gonorrhea or chlamydia, it's got to be registered with the state. So we have to take, you got to get the test. And this is not a blood test. This is a... That's right. That's right. Oh, this is...
Wolverine's a doctor over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck, I'm the worst theorist at what I do, and what I do is self-exam for sexually transmitted diseases. And that's the choice she gives me. She's like, well, you can test yourself, or I can test you. And I'm like, well, what's the test? Like, multiple choice? And she's like, well, there's a swab.
Oh, okay, I thought it was something else.
Yeah. You put the swab right down in your dick hole. In the dickle region, near the AIDS and the cancer, you spin it around a few times, get the sample in there real good, pop it out, snap it off conveniently inside a little vial, you screw the cap on, we send it to the government, government tells you you got the clap, we give you a dose and off you go. You can do this or I can do this. Like, yeah, well, I'm very faithful to my girlfriend, so I am going to be the only one, she and me are the only one that comes in contact. I will self-test. And she goes, great. Gives me this little vial. So... it's like a crack vial. Like it's got, right, it's about that big and it's got a cap, but it's got like a Q-tip on the inside of the cap, and on the shaft of the Q-tip is a little notch, okay? So after you take the test, you break the Q-tip off inside the vial so it's a sealed medical sample, right? And twist it up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a moment of truth I experienced with my genitals that I have never experienced before or since, where like if my entire unit package zone could have crawled back into my body, it would have. Because it's sitting there, and it knows what I'm doing, and I've got this Q-tip in my hand, and it's just like, no, no, don't do it. Don't, come on, don't do it. Just jump out the window. You know it's cancer. This crazy broad telling you it's the clap. Come on, this is cancer, man. We gotta get you into chemo. Like, I know, Dick, I know. I gotta do this. We gotta do this. This hurts so excruciatingly bad. This feels like I've just injected fire into my dick hole. And then the best part is you do the twist like Chubby Checker. And remove. Now, if I'm at one point, I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll just push the kink out and it'll be fine when the thing comes out. It doesn't work like that either. So I don't, at this point, I have the shakes. And I have to break the thing, and I go to break the shaft, and it acts like a catapult. Flies across a filthy art school men's room. I retrieve it and put it back in. I go back in, and I'm like, it fell out and landed in the shower. She's like, you're going to have to do this again. So like Chubby Checker, I fucking twist it again like we did last summer. And it hurts so fucking bad. And at this point, I've actually left my body. And I go back out, and I've tested it, and I'm putting the cap on, and it... pew. I swear to fucking God. Both times. So I come back out, it fell out again. She's like, two is probably good enough. One of those two is probably good. I don't think you should do it a third time. She gives me a dose of antibiotic, and literally an hour later, it's better. Oh, yeah, turns out it was a UTI.
Shut up!
are back from our first act of the 2017 Dragon Con Five Truths and a Lie show, which was pretty centered on that middle chakra, that
yes.
sexual chakra.
It was a dirty, dirty first act for may the odds be ever in your favor.
And a hashtag rich environment.
It was. All the tweets that were coming in were either hashtag shirt, hashtag I slept on my dick wrong.
That's a long one.
And it was. And hashtag sex motel.
Hashtag sex motel.
And can I say something to you, Brian? And this is no offense to you, but I just want to say Rick Worthy has a great voice.
Oh, why is that enough? Why would that be an offense to me other than that you're sexually attracted to Rick
Worthy? No, I think she's saying you have a terrible voice.
Oh, well, I'm just saying.
I guess it is offensive.
His moans.
I didn't get that at
his
first.
Moans and groans were sexy. That's all I'm saying.
And mine are like machinery malfunction. Like birds being put through a wood chipper. A wood chipper.
A wood chipper. It's like somebody shouting from upstairs.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Wood Chipper.
Hi.
Here's your chance to win a Chevy Tahoe.
Chuck Woolery, you're such a racist.
I certainly am. I love white people. That's my best Chuck Woolery.
It's about perfect.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So you had this sweet, sweet angel face of Dominique.
Mm-hmm. She is a little elf, like a sylvan forest.
Yes, and the sweetest person. And you know she's in Dirty Dancing, and we've seen the movie so many times. At least I have. I'm a child of the '80s. I know the move she's talking about, like the jump and everything. And,
sure.
Yeah. And then knowing
that would have been different if she shat on Patrick Swayze's face.
Josh, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you knew she had the tuna sandwich, so how did you feel throughout the story?
I saw where it was going. I think she projected a little bit. She telegraphed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The moment she said tuna fish sandwich.
It's like everybody knew.
You were ready for the shits.
Otherwise, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the sandwich that you eat makes no sense.
It's a key clue.
Yeah.
But it was fun waiting for,
yeah,
like,
well,
to see how it was going to happen.
Especially because it's called Dirty Dancing. I mean, I've seen the movie.
You think there's a scat porn version called Dirty Dancing? They didn't even change it to a porn name.
No, yeah. They were just like, Dirty Dancing, shrug.
Shrug.
Shrug. Shrug emoji. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I knew where she was going to go with it.
Yeah.
But it still is, like, I was not prepared for how horrifying it would ultimately be.
God bless her.
As I said before, she painted a really great picture so that I didn't really need to, like, I knew the dance move she was talking about. She put that right out there. Mm-hmm. I knew everything that I needed to know in order to know how horrifying it would be to be on stage with her at that time.
Well, then you had Rick talking about his sex motel.
Being, can you imagine, like, you're single in a motel with your best friend, which is your dog.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden you just hear moans and groans.
It's a little sad. It's sad that you're I felt bad for Rick in the story, and he sort of mentions it in there. He's like, you know, I was single. I didn't need a girlfriend really badly because I'm here with my dog, and people are upstairs making the beast with two backs. And, you know, it's just, it's sad. That's not what you want to be.
No. And, you know, I've been there too. I'm married now, but there was a time when I was single and free. And what that meant to me was never having sex and also living in an apartment where I constantly heard somebody else having sex.
I'm going to tell a very 2-second story.
Go for
my
it.
My favorite thing ever that as a Josh Flom story. One time I came to his apartment, this apartment he's talking about, which was a 2-story type townhouse type apartment. And Josh had the upper floor kind of loft area. And I was coming to visit Josh, and I walked in to the apartment. And in the apartment were all these young women playing with dildos and vibrators. It was a sex toy, like, Avon party.
Yeah. Tupperware
type thing. And they had, like, you know, they had some wine. They were having a fun time. They're all being silly.
It was my two female roommates. One of my close friend's girlfriend was helping run the thing.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, wow, this is like, they're having a great, I mean, it's like a ridiculous thing to walk into, like, you know, like, really, it's 10 attractive women with sex toys and they're tipsy on wine. And I'm like, okay. And I felt awkward. So I walk through and I'm going up to see my friend. So I go up the stairs to Josh's room to like comment about what's going on down here. And I walk in and he's sitting on the floor with our friend Bob DeRosa, filmmaker Bob DeRosa. And they're playing like, seriously, like
gin.
Gin rummy. Gin or like Dungeons and Dragons or something. They're like, they're sitting there playing. And I'm like, what are you guys doing up here? And like, oh, we're just, we're playing cards. I'm like, yeah, but downstairs, has that escaped you at all? I mean, like, it is really, it is a Revenge of the Nerds sort of moment. It really is.
It actually, in retrospect, it seems much worse than it felt then. But the truth is, we were on my dirty carpeted floor, both, you know, legs crossed, playing gin rummy.
Adult gentlemen. Adult gentlemen. Men of breeding age.
Yeah. Bob was engaged, I think, at the time.
Probably.
The woman downstairs, and I was a single free man.
As single as you've ever been in your life.
Yeah. And that really encapsulated my life.
That moment.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'd rather play cards than talk to women.
With
sex toys.
Rick felt, you know, he just needed a place to sleep.
Yeah.
And of all, you know, it's like of all the gin joints.
Yes.
You know, he picked the one where
All the boutique hotels in Seattle.
I picked the one where everybody's getting it on.
Well, and then, of course, we moved on to Matt Fraction and his, that phrase haunted my dreams. Matt, I'm going to tell you right now if you're listening to this. I slept on my dick wrong would not leave my mind. It's like subliminal. It's not even subliminal really because it was right out there, but it just haunted my brain, rattled around in there. And it was also terrible to hear.
And the problem for me in that story is every time he said my dickle region, I pictured it sort of on a map next to a taiga, you know, like a
Taiga the rapper?
No, not Taiga the rapper.
Okay, because that's what I thought too.
It's Taiga and MC Dickle.
I was more picturing like Canadian tundra, you know.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Taiga.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or let's say tundra. That's fine. Tundra's great.
That's better, maybe.
Yeah, I should have said tundra.
It doesn't make us think of the rapper.
Yeah. The third time he said Dickle region, I had the whole map in my head. And it's sort of south of the tundra, you know, it's a little warmer, but also like unlivable.
I have to say, upon hearing this again, the thing that was really, I don't know why, but it jumped out to me. It wasn't anything to do with his genitals or the catheterization that he had to do of himself or any of the horrible stuff. It's when he said a dirty art school bathroom that I really, honestly, it just entered my mind. It was so clear. That's the worst place to drop something is a dirty art school bathroom.
That actually, it's worse.
It smells like poop and clove cigarettes.
Worse than a football locker room, you know?
Oh, much worse than a football locker room.
Oh, absolutely.
What was interesting is when he said, talking about the swabbing and everything. What you guys did is what every guy in the audience did. That's true. He even had to stop and say, "Oh, you guys,
a living nightmare."
Yeah.
Okay. So Josh, take us through where you're thinking. You've heard three stories.
Any liars?
Anyone surfacing?
I'm loath to call Matt Fraction a liar just because the swabbing alone was very realistic and ultimately like, I get it. Like, he had a UTI. It's rough. He went through the process. I don't know where the lie is. I don't know why you would lie about that.
Okay. Right, right. All right.
Personally, like, I
so that feels true to you?
That feels very true to me.
Okay. What about the other two?
I actually really liked Rick's story. I thought that he was very connected to his dog. And that's also, like, people don't lie about that. And I don't know that.
Or do they?
No,
or do they?
They don't. Okay, so far,
unless Rick Worthy is a sociopath, who is pretending to have human emotions,
it's very possible.
He's very convincing.
He is very convincing. Look, is he a Dexter? That's what we want to know.
He's a Cylon.
Well, he is a Cylon. He's pretending to be a human.
Well, and if that stays true to his real life, then yes, you can't trust him.
You can't trust him.
But So far, I'm unconvinced that okay. anybody's
so
a
Dominique.
Liar.
You think Dominique was telling the truth as well?
I'm not convinced that she's a liar.
Uh-huh.
Although it's a convenient lie to you know, it's called Dirty Dancing. She sharted at the perfect moment in the show.
That's
you
a
know.
Good. That's actually I could see. That's a good point.
It so far, if any one of these three stories were to be a lie, that's the one I would pick.
So you've got a little bit of a target on Dominique.
So far, so not good, because that's not what I would call that story. It was well told, but also horrifying in a number of ways.
I just mean from a liar's perspective.
Yeah.
You're not trying to, I don't think you're trying to assassinate Dominique.
It's too perfect. It would only be more perfect if it was like the lift over the head and it sort of spurted out of her butt in an arc.
In an arc.
Like a Bellagio
like a fountain
style.
We've all seen that photo on the internet.
Well, let's move on into our second act.
We have
two more stories. As we said at the beginning of the podcast, normally we have six stories. We did have someone who missed a flight and was unable to come to this convention show that we did. So just two more coming up. The first one is from another Winona Earp, half of... Of
Way Hot.
Way Hot.
We didn't explain that to you, Josh. Winona Earp, Kat's character and Dominique's character are in a relationship, and one is named Waverly, one is named Nicole Hot. So the internet came up with a hashtag Way Hot.
Way Hot.
The internet is a genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So Catherine Burrell from Winona Earp is going to tell us a story about learning a new trade.
Yes. And then leave it at that. Writer Derek Hughes he's going to tell us a Hollywood story of meeting one's hero or heroes in close quarters.
In close quarters. Okay, so we're going to jump into these stories.
If the hero is a sandwich, I know it's a lot.
Okay. It's
okay,
a tuna sandwich.
You're looking for that.
We're
looking
for
that.
We're done.
Well, let's see if a sandwich shows up. Here we go. Enjoy these next two stories.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to preface this by saying I am not talking about my vagina shitting my dick or sex.
You're breaking the streak.
Sorry. I'm going to tell you guys a story about a time in my life when I, shocking, I'm an actor, had no money and had to figure out what I was going to do on the side to make money but still be available for auditions and working and stuff. So I thought, what am I going to do that's going to be really lucrative, really easy to get into, and really flexible? I thought, I'm going to learn how to be a leather worker. Very logical. So I get on the internet. This is back in 2011. It felt like forums were just becoming a thing. I don't know. The forum I was on felt very primitive. And I go through all these guys are like the southern United States. I live up in Canada. And I found this guy named Jesse Lee Cantrell, who was looking for an apprentice to learn how to make 18th century boots for reenactors. So you guys we're at Dragon Con. Everybody knows if you're going to buy a pair of boots for a costume, you want them to be super authentic. So this guy was located in Hamilton, Ontario. For those of you who don't know where that is a place in Ontario affectionately known as the armpit of Ontario. But it's also 20 minutes from my parents' house. So I thought, this is great. I'm going to go leave Toronto, stay with my parents overnight, and I can apprentice with this guy. I'll learn how to make boots, and this will be my side job. It's very logical. So I go, and I roll up to this beautiful warehouse. So in the 50s, boat builders came over from Poland, and they built this gorgeous warehouse in Hamilton. And I meet Jesse Lee Cantrell, and there's a few things you need to know about Jesse Lee so I can paint his picture. Jesse Lee is a free man on the land, which means he holds no passport, obeys no laws, and kind of just floats from the States to Canada. I don't know how he got there. He has a cat who he has named after his previous bootmaking master. He has an associate named Steve, and Steve is a man who looks a lot like Jesus. He wears jeans and no underwear ever. So it's just constant butt crack. Jesse Lee does not drink water because he says it upsets his stomach, so he only drinks beer. And he constantly chews sex on chewing tobacco. So just to paint you a picture of the man I was going to meet in a warehouse in the armpit of Ontario by myself at 21 years old to learn to be a leather bootmaker. So I go in this beautiful building, and I'm amazed at this building. So in the bottom, there's his leather shop, and in the top, it's a like a high school gymnasium with the beautiful wood floors and the stage at the end. And so this was a community center. And up on the stage, there's a recording studio. So Steve, the man who doesn't wear underwear, he runs the recording studio up top, and Jesse Lee runs the bootmaking shop down below. And I'm like, guys, how did you get this beautiful building? And they say, you know, everything in Hamilton real estate-wise is pretty much free right now. So they paid like 60 grand for this huge, beautiful building. Anyways, that's a side note to the story that we'll get back to later. So I buckled down with Jesse Lee, and for 2 months, I go there a couple times a week, and I learn how to make 18th century boots. And I'm really good at it. And I kind of have this weird, unexplained knack for it. And so a few months go by, and Jesse confides me one day that he's really impressed with me, and he gets really serious, and says, you know, Kat, I would really like to train you full-time. I'd like you to take over my shop. When I either don't want to do this anymore or I die. This is a man I've known for 2 months. And so that means you get all the gear, you get the Cantrell name, you can make boots for reenactors, and you can have the building, all the stuff. So I'm a little overwhelmed by the prospect because I want to do this as my side job to support my acting. And I go and I'm like, I'm going to think about it. That's very generous of you. And 3 days later, I booked my first acting job. And it took me away from the boot shop for about a month. And when I came back, I had to kind of tell him that I wasn't really interested in being a boot builder. And he was really upset by that, obviously. And we kind of fell out and lost touch. I thought, what am I going to tell for this story about rolling the dice and taking chances? It's all about, like, you know, you come to these forks in your life of what are you going to do? Was I going to be a bootmaker? Was I going to keep on acting? And I think retrospectively, here I am at Dragon Con with all you lovely folk. I think from my heart, I definitely made the right choice. But I wanted to tell the story, and I thought, I kind of rolled the dice. So I called up a real estate agent friend of mine, recently. The thing I haven't told you is that Hamilton is the fastest growing real estate in Canada right now. The building that I would have inherited is currently valued at $4.3 million. And that is my story of rolling the dice. Straight to fire as he strikes. Help and forever. Help and forever. Than a shadow comes the flare from a raging sun. An exhibition, ship position, yet no one knows from where he comes.
All right. It's not a story about sharding, but I did have 2 euros tonight, and I'm feeling it right now. So, yeah, there could be a surprise at the end of this. Just warning y'all now. Okay, my story is basically about how not to do an elevator pitch and to understand what an elevator pitch is. An elevator pitch is when they teach you in writing that you have maybe like 45 seconds to 2 minutes to talk to somebody. And picture yourself if you're in an elevator, say, with like Steven Spielberg or Matt Fraction. And you want to basically present a story and tell it, you know. And so you have only that time from, you know, the elevator ride from the top floor down to the bottom to tell your story. So my story begins with early in my writing career, my writing partner. We had a general meeting over at a building called Tribeca West in West L.A. And I'm on the top floor wandering around trying to find the building. My writing partner's already there. I'm running late. I'm trying to find the office, and all the offices look the same. They're outdoor balconies or hallways. I'm walking around. I'm about to give up. And then I see this man slowly approaching me, and I'm like, that guy kind of looks familiar. And as he gets closer, and he's this guy that's helping him, a handler, and I'm like, holy shit, it's Muhammad Ali. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Thrilling Manila. It's Rumble in the Jungle. I mean, flow like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And he's getting there. I'm like, what do I say to him? Do I say anything? Do I say something? What if we become BFFs? I mean, this is the stuff that you have in your head. So as he's getting closer, he's looking at me and he knows that I'm about to say something. But then just as I'm about to say, I hear Derek. And I turn around and it's my writing partner sticking his head out the door of this production office. And he says, what are you doing? We're late. And so now I'm like, but it's Muhammad Ali. But and then so I decide, all right, you know what? I have to do the meeting. And I turn around and I go into the meeting. And now when you're in a general meeting, it's sort of like speed dating. It's like, how did you two meet? How did you get started in writing? You know, but the whole time I'm just not even thinking about that, because all I'm thinking about is like, I could have been BFFs with Muhammad Ali. I'm like, but it's like, I blew that chance and I'm never going to get that chance again. So I'm just giving one word answers. We met in the comic book shop. I've been writing for a while. And so, you know, by the time the meeting's over, it's pretty a shitty meeting. And my writing partner, all right, you know what? It's like, we know that the meeting was not that great, but I was like, okay, let's just go back to the valley. We'll get some lunch. We'll figure it, you know, we'll figure out what our next things are going to be. And so he's got to use the bathroom. So I go to the elevator to head to the garage. And as I get in the elevator, I hear, hey, hold the door. And I'm thinking it's my writing partner at hand. Grabs the door, steps in, and holy shit, it's Jason Kadams. Now, Jason Kadams is the guy who created Friday Night Lights, Parenthood, The Path. You know, it's like, and this was like early on in Friday Night Lights, and I was just like, this is the greatest football show ever. I mean, like, oh my God. So now I'm thinking like, okay, you know what? I gotta roll the dice. This is the only time I'm gonna be able to talk to a showrunner. So I'm like, waiting, and then, you know, I say, look, Mr. Kadams, I'm a huge fan of the show. I think Friday Night Lights is an amazing football show. It's like, you know, I just love everything about it. It's, you know, and, you know, and then I'm a writer, and if I ever get an opportunity, ding, the doors open, and who the fuck steps in? Muhammad Ali. So now I'm like, oh, fuck. It's like, this is a second opportunity, but now it's Jason Kadams. Like, I'm supposed to be pitching him, but I got to... So I'm thinking, and the whole time thinking that the elevator's going down, and then we get to the garage, and the elevator door open, and, you know, everybody's quiet because Muhammad Ali, and I'm like, you know what, fuck it, I got to say something. So as he steps out, I go up to him, and I say, Mr. Ali, I just got to tell you, you know, my name's Derek Hughes, I'm a huge fan, I think you're a legend, you are the greatest football player ever that lived. And it was an out-of-body experience where it was just like, did not say anything, paralyzed. His handler gave me the side eye like, did this fool say what I just think he said? And he grabbed him and turned, and Mama Lee gave me that sort of like slow, sad, like, I mean, he's the one that has Parkinson's, but he looked at me like I was the one that was just like special and you know, and it was just like, and I was rooted to the ground. I couldn't say anything. And then I feel a pat on my shoulder, and it's Jason Kadams, who I completely forgot about. And he says, don't worry about it, you know, but if I ever do a show about a boxer turned football player, you will be the first person I call. And as he walks away, I walk back to my car, and the whole drive home, I vowed never to do another elevator pitch ever again.
Know you got me dancing. I'm a champion of the ring. Know my name is Muhammad Ali.
And we're back from Act Two of our Dragon Con show. Those were a little less dirty.
It's so crazy that, you know, because we do pick the names out of the hat randomly.
Yes.
And how the first three stories were totes dirty.
Yeah.
Totes. And then the second two stories in the second half were not.
Were delightful.
They were
and
completely
sex-free.
Different.
Yes.
Although, you know, I didn't get to read a lot of tweets after Catherine's story because we're moving along. But I got one tweet right after Derek's story, which was just hashtag cringe.
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 Oh. I have to say, with Catherine's story, I just related so much to the idea of, like, you know, when you start out trying to be a writer or an actor or be in the entertainment biz or whatever aspect of the entertainment world you're in, you know, it's such a hard row to hoe. And, you know, there's just this part of you at a certain point that's like, I need a backup. Like, yeah. Your parents have already told you that, but you ignored them. And now secretly, every night, you go to bed and in your head rattles around, I need a backup, I need a backup. And she chose, I guess,
a very reliable vocation.
Sure. Boot making.
It's been around for 700 years or so.
Leather stocking.
Yeah.
Leather stocking.
Tanning.
Yeah. It was amazing.
And I like how she was so young and she's like, I'm going to go drive out to this place in the armpit of Ontario and meet these men I've never met.
And
she's
brave. By the way, I am from Toronto, Canada, which is a stone's throw hour from Hamilton, Ontario. And and she describes it as an armpit. And I will call it just a regular city.
you didn't think it was an armpit.
No. It's more like Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. Cleveland, it's not.
You are describing armpits. Yes.
So an armpit.
Those are four shitholes in a row.
We kid.
Sorry,
Cleveland, Pittsburgh,
and Philadelphia.
And Philly.
We love you.
But I actually do appreciate a story that starts about like making boots and ends up about a lamentation concerning real estate.
Yes.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she made the right choice. She's doing great.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, she's on a great show. She's doing fine.
Yes,
she is. She's doing incredibly well.
Her boots were made for
acting.
Acting.
Okay, here we go. And our last story, of course, with Derek. God. Well, Josh, I was watching Josh listen to the story. So people know at home, who are listening to this or in their car or wherever you happen to be at your job. You know, we play the story on a speaker in the room here, and we kind of watch Josh listen to the stories. It's pretty creepy, but but watching him, who, you know, he's a writer, I'm a writer, we both are in this business out here. It was, you were cringing. I mean, you looked like you were trying to crawl into a shell. I mean, it was just terrible. So we had those last two stories,
correct?
We've talked about those a little. Let's kind of, it's time now, Josh, really, to kind of guess who the liar is. That's the position we find ourselves in. So let's give a recap, not only to you but to our folks at home. We had a story from Dominique. Say her name again.
Dominique Provost-Shockley.
Shockley. And she told us about her poopy performance.
Yes,
just a reminder.
Yes, and then we had Rick Worthy, who stayed at a sex motel.
Matt Fraction, who, look, he slept on his dick wrong, potentially.
Per the hashtag.
Catherine Burrell's journey into bootmaking.
And Derek Hughes' elevator pitch gone terribly, terribly wrong with Muhammad Ali and Jason Kadams.
So tell us, Josh, where are you?
Yeah, okay, so you got to take us through it.
The elevator pitch was too close to home. It's too real. I guarantee you that's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Same with bootmaking, and also truly about regrets about real estate investment. That I don't know where the realism isn't.
Yeah, right.
So the Lovemaking Hotel. The Lovemaking Hotel.
Mm. You've classed it up since Rick, since Rick's tale.
Hotel de fuck.
And you took it way down. It's interesting. You're a real roller coaster, Josh.
Yeah. I think that's a true story as well. Only because it was Valentine's Day and that's when everybody fucks, right? Once a year?
Do we, honey? Do we?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
So then I'm left with Dominique's story about sharding
during Dirty Dancing.
West End.
On the West End. On
Is
her
it
West
in the
end.
South End?
From her West
End. From her West End.
Hey!
From the South
Matt's chiming
end.
In over here from the production booth.
It's the
Kaploosh.
South. It's the South End. I mean, let's just face it.
And then it's Matt Fraction's story about slipping on his dick wrong. Which
so those are your two candidates.
The swabbing felt very real.
And visceral.
Awesome.
And visceral. So I, all along, I've had this feeling that Dominique has been telling this lie.
All right.
It's too perfect. It's the exact right musical theater to like shit yourself in.
I think I'm gonna just jump in here. I think you may have said this already. You certainly said it earlier that it's You didn't like the idea of the dirty dancing and the poo-poo story. Yeah. You thought that was too clever by half.
Too clever by half, plus the way she described her legs spreading apart.
Ugh.
And having somebody hold her up.
Ugh. God bless her.
But at the same time, shying away from the real details. So she sort All right. of was okay. just like, All right. I sharded and that was that.
Yeah.
All right, so okay. you're going to go with Dominique.
Dominique is my guest.
Dominique is Josh's guest. Audrey, take us through who the audience.
I'm going to take you through. So what we did at DragonCon, yes. because we have hundreds and hundreds of people there, is we do applause meter. So Dominique got a fair amount of applause.
She did indeed.
And then when we got to Rick, brought the house down wow. with oh, wow. applause. Catherine got some applause. Matt got some applause. Derek got no
applause.
Applause. Nobody thought he's lying, right? So it's okay. So it's kind of between.
So they were sort of in your range.
Yeah, they're in your range, and it was between
except for the Rick part.
Rick. It was between Rick and Dominique. So we did one more and everything.
We narrowed it down.
Yeah. So between Rick and Dominique, everybody went like crazy for Rick. Everybody in our show thought Rick Worthy was lying.
That was the decision on the evening.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yes. So now we can now reveal the liar of the 2017 Dragon Con Five Truths and a Lie show. And the liar was...
Derek
Hughes! Son of a bitch! Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Derek was the liar. Yeah, all made yeah. up.
Everybody lost their shit because nobody clapped for him.
And Dominique
Everybody
especially.
Believed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Dominique sharded on the West End, for sure.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
It's the truth.
Well, first of all, I'm very sad for Dominique.
Oh, I know. It's rough. That's a rough story. And
Talk
brave
about
of
risks.
Her to tell.
She's not wrong. She really yeah. did take a risk about...
She, you know what?
God bless her.
Yeah.
She, we had never met, and she had agreed to do the show, and we were talking to them
like
backstage.
We meet them by Twitter and email.
Sure.
And by email and through their managers. And so when we were talking to them backstage, I was like, thank you for doing this. And it was just me and her. And she's like, I'm freaked out. She's like, I'm telling something that I don't know if I should be telling. But I love her because she went out there and did it.
She did it.
Yeah.
Well.
And her fans were so happy.
I'm sure they were. Hey, look, stars, they're just like us, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
We've all sharded.
We've all sharded.
Well, that was a really fun. I'm glad we did that, friends. Folks, this has been a blast. Josh, thank you so much.
Oh my God, it's
for
been
being
a pleasure.
Here.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Five Truths and Lie podcast. You guys can look at all of our episodes on our website.
Please, we're going to be doing more, I promise you.
Yes, 5truthsandlie.com or on Stitcher or iTunes. And that's FIVE truthsandalie.com. Also, please check out geekgirlauthority.com because you can find the stories there. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter at 5truthsandalie. And that's the numeral 5 on Twitter because we'd like to make it confusing. And we'd like to thank all of our storytellers for entertaining us so well. Thank you to Dominique Provost-Shockley, to Rick Worthy, Catherine Burrell, Matt Fraction, and Derek Hughes.
And as always, if you're in LA and you're interested in attending one of our lovely shows, please check out our website and find out how you can score an invitation to the program. And I think that's it.
I hope it is.
God, it has to be it.
We really need to end
There's
this.
Only one thing left to say to the internet.
And what is that, my love?
I love you.
You made it creepy.
No, I think that was loving. I think anyone who heard that felt embraced by my voice.
Or creeped out.